This series deals with troubling topics including suicide, drug overdosing, and dependent adult abuse. If you or someone you know is struggling with depression or suicidal thoughts, call or text 988 right now and speak with a counselor for free. Previously on The Quarterback and the Con Artist.
Eric's demeanor throughout his recovery was childlike.
He couldn't really stay focused on one thing.
And at this point, Eric Kramer has the equivalent brain capacity of a six-year-old.
Whatever you told him to do something, he just did it.
For the most part, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, an ex-girlfriend from Eric's past shows up out of nowhere.
I can see that she was a gold digger.
Well, she says she just wants to help Eric make a full recovery. And she appears to want to take care of him and nurse him back to health. But make no mistake, this woman is concealing an ulterior motive, a fact that is about to become abundantly clear to everyone in Eric Kramer's life.
We would not think that anybody would be coming in here and trying to steal from him. That would just be cruel.
I'm Jonathan Walton, and this is The Quarterback and the Con Artist. Episode 6. Snoop Doggy Dog.
So there's parts of those years where I remember nothing. There's parts where I might remember, you know, 10 or 15% of a day. There's so many missing parts.
Sitting across from Eric Kramer now, it's hard to imagine what he was like just a few years ago during his recovery from that gunshot to the head.
My range of emotions in a day was very flat. There was no spike. There was no excitement. I could have won the lottery.
A $900 million Powerball jackpot grand prize is up for grabs tonight.
Guess how much difference it would have made? Zero. So not only didn't I remember, if I did remember, I wouldn't care.
And this is what's so hard for me to wrap my head around. After Eric recovered physically from the gunshot wound, he looked normal for the most part, and he did normal everyday activities, like play golf, eat out at restaurants, and even drive a car. But
I wasn't even aware that I was driving when I was driving.
Eric also made a point of attending football games that his son Dylan was playing in. But just because he was there didn't mean he was all there.
I had gotten my second concussion in football.
Eric's son, Dylan.
And as it's happening, I'm getting, attended to by sports med people. My dad, as it's happening, goes to the snack shack and gets some chili fries or something. And it's not registering, right?
That you are concussed and need medical attention.
Right.
And he's getting chili fries.
Right. So that would be an example. And I would just say little things like that. Oh, what was the other thing that he would do?
You're screaming.
He would just look at the TV.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Just mindlessly and aimlessly. And that was something that he would never do before. I remember I had come out to visit. I came out with my girlfriend at the time. So he hadn't met my girlfriend at the time. And he was staying with my Aunt Kelly here in Vegas. And I was, obviously hearing that he's not the same guy. He's different. He's scrolling on the TV. He's just aimlessly watching, yada, yada, yada. But then I remember it was one of the nights staying there, and it was kind of later at night, and just impromptu, I asked him to borrow his car for me to go get some ice cream or whatever, which doesn't sound like a big deal at all. Just knowing him before and after, he would never just easily just hand you the keys. Just go take my ride. Go. I've never met this girl before. Go take this girl. You're going to say you're going to get ice cream. I trust you. That just wasn't his nature. His nature was a little bit more just
suspicious.
Suspicious, like a dad.
Yeah, like a dad.
you know?
Yeah.
And so that was like, huh.
And he just like that was he let you take his car.
Like, that was way too easy. That was strange. That's sort of out of his behavior.
And what Dylan is unaware of, as all this is going on, is that Eric's ex-girlfriend, Courtney Baird, is trying like mad to get a hold of him. She's emailing, calling, and texting him ad nauseum. In fact, the day Eric Kramer shoots himself in the head back on August 18th, 2015, and all of Eric's friends and family are frantically searching for him, unaware that he's in a hospital ER undergoing emergency surgery.
But guess who shows up on the day that we're all looking for Eric? It's at Eric's house.
Courtney showed up there?
How would she know?
Eric's childhood friend, Anna Durgan.
I guarantee you she was stalking him. Because Eric started dating a girl. She told me that she saw that Courtney had checked out her LinkedIn page or something like that.
Yeah, because if you subscribe to LinkedIn, you can see who visits your profile.
Correct. So I think Courtney had been stalking Eric because there was no reason for her to be in that vicinity.
The day he
shot himself.
She's there.
Along with everybody else, seeing cop cars and everything else, and wow. She's there.
So what you're saying is she was already stalking him, so when she saw the cop cars, it is how she knew something happened.
Correct. Why was she there? She didn't live even in the neighborhood. There's no reason. And this, and his street is like really just a one, it's a dead-end street type of thing. There's no reason for her to be there.
And I've investigated, gosh, hundreds of con artist cases over the past 8 years. And this is a thing. When there is a tragedy, the con artists show up because they're offering a solution. And everyone is so mesmerized by the tragedy and desperate to believe something good is going to happen or could happen that they don't notice. That is red flag number one of a professional con, is they offer to help.
Mm-hmm.
And they get in there.
Back when they were dating, Eric's friends and family were not fans of Courtney Baird at all.
You know, Eric and I used to get together quite a bit.
Eric's good friend, Robert Espinosa.
So we'd go out, you know, my wife and him and Courtney. But a couple times they just got in some pretty nasty fights. And one time I was in front of his house and we're talking. He goes, oh, I wanted to let you know that, you know, Courtney and I split up. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you what I've been thinking is she's not for you. She is not a good woman for you. So I'm very glad you split up and I hope you guys stay that way.
Eric's mom, Eileen, wasn't on Team Courtney either.
Eileen didn't like Courtney.
Anna Durgan.
She could see Courtney was a gold digger, you know. And I can just say from what all the times that Eric told me about Courtney, they broke up more. Like in the 3-year relationship, I would say they broke up 6 to 8 times. So just think about that. They're breaking up every 2 to 3 months.
And then while Eric is in the hospital recovering from that gunshot wound,
Eric didn't have his phone. We took his phone away from him. He didn't have a laptop.
And was he missing those things?
No.
No, because he didn't.
His brain wasn't there.
Plug and play. Like you tell him what to do and he just does it. You tell him what to think and he thinks it.
Anybody that told him, let's do this, okay.
So you took his phone, he took his laptop and he didn't be like, hey, where's my phone? Where's my laptop?
Like when I'm telling you, he was hypnotized by the TV for 7-8 hours at a time.
Wow.
Without getting up to use the restroom.
And after snatching his phone, Anna is shocked to discover that even before Eric's suicide attempt, months before, Courtney was keeping close tabs on him.
And when we took away his phone, I started reading some of the text messages. Me, Snoop Doggy Dog, was, was reading some of the text messages. And one of the text messages she wrote to him in May of that year, May of 2015, she said something about, oh, so you met this girl and you're dating the girl from the gym.
Ooh.
And you're probably grooming her, something of that nature. So again, this is 4 months after he ended it with her.
Right.
And she's still sending these kind of text messages to him. So you tell me, Doesn't that sound like someone who's still obsessed with him?
Yeah.
And now that Eric is recovering from that brain injury, he doesn't remember breaking up with Courtney. I mean, he doesn't remember a lot of things.
It was wild.
Eric's friend, Chris Gurman.
His long-term memory was amazing. Short-term, he couldn't remember a thing. Very agreeable. I mean, you could have told him anything. Oh, okay, yeah.
And early on, after Eric is discharged from the hospital and is at home, and his childhood friend, Anna Durgan, has rearranged her entire life around his treatment, and she's staying at his house to help take care of him, one day, out of the blue, Courtney Bear just shows up. Okay, so I've never been a huge weed person, mostly because I think dispensaries are a little overwhelming and pretentious. That's just me. You do you. But there's this company called Mood, Mood.com, that's changing the way people can buy cannabis. You know how most dispensaries make you choose between strains with ridiculous names and you have no idea which one's for you? Well, that's what Mood.com figured out. And by the way, you can get 20% off your first order with promo code Walton. If you go to Mood.com and click Shop by Mood, it'll tell you which strain does what. Want to be more social at a party? There's a flower for that. Need to focus and get work done? There's a flower for that. Want to melt into your couch and watch movies? Yep, there's a flower for that too. And here's the part few people realize. It's now 100% federally legal to have really great bud shipped right to your door. It's third-party lab tested and arrives in a discreet box. Best of all, everything's backed by Mood's 100-day satisfaction guarantee. And like I said, you can get 20% off with code Walton. So head to Mood.com and get 20% off your first order now.
I got to Eric's house from my accounting class, and who was there at the kitchen table? Courtney.
Wow.
Now, mind you, I have to take him to treatment every morning, drop him off, drive in. So he lives in Agora. I'm dropping him off in Encino to get his treatment. I'm driving to Santa Monica to work. Go from Santa Monica back to Encino to pick him up, and then go back to Agora. And she was there at the kitchen table. She was there until 1:30 in the morning. So where does she leave her daughter? Who does she leave her daughter with? Her daughter must have been like 8 or 9 or 10 at the time. Who does that? Like, who stays at someone's house midweek and stays until 1:30 in the morning?
Someone with a plan.
And then I... Snoop Doggy Dog again. I was upstairs listening. Hey, yes, and you know, we missed you so much, and he always thought of you as a father to figure to her. Again, he is Courtney's daughter. I'm like, wow, she's laying it on thick.
She's trying to get in there.
A couple days go by, and when Eric is getting transferred from his Los Angeles area home to a treatment facility in Las Vegas, before he leaves,
she comes over again before going into work, brings over a card and a little stuffed animal. And I hear them. I didn't say shit to her. And she says, okay, Eric, don't stay away too long. Come back, you know. Oh, I'm only going out for, Eric didn't know shit. He didn't even know anything. I'm only going out for a couple weeks. And she literally did not stop texting or calling, even while he was in Vegas and he was getting treatment there 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. And the administrator called and said, look, I don't know who Eric's talking to, but I believe it's some girl by the name of Courtney, and she's interrupting his treatment. He's on the phone consistently. Then he walks outside and we have to keep asking him to come back in because he keeps missing his treatments because he's on the phone. So, I mean, again, he's still in the very early stages of his recovery. Anybody who knew Eric knew that he wasn't right.
Right.
She knew he wasn't right.
Oh, clearly.
Everybody did.
While Eric is in Las Vegas, by day, he's working full time on his recovery, doing intense physical therapy and brain rehab, albeit with Courtney's interruptions. By night, he's staying with his sister and her kids, and they're keeping a watchful eye on him. And they all inadvertently have a front row seat to the barrage of phone calls and text messages coming from Courtney Baird, who's back in Los Angeles.
So when Courtney would call, Eric's sister Kelly, she could overhear just one side, obviously, of the conversation. And she could only hear what Eric was saying. Oh, yeah, well, that's not what she told me, but okay, I'll tell her that. Okay, I'll tell her that. And then it was like, Kelly, God, you know, she felt like, what can she do? Because she can't hear, but she's calling me and saying, I can't believe this is what this bitch is saying. She's trying to turn him against me. Courtney was basically telling Eric, you do not have to stay there. You can come back home to Agora. I'll help you. I'll take care of you. I'll take you to the doctors. And that's what got him to leave.
And here's the thing. In the beginning, it really did appear as if Courtney was genuinely trying to help, that she had Eric's best interest at heart. So as many reservations as Anna and everyone else had about what was unfolding before their eyes, there was still a nuclear level of conflicted feelings on the matter.
And to be honest, they had a very bad relationship, a very toxic, destructive relationship. Why all of a sudden does she want to come back? But at the same time, we thought, okay, Eric needs help still. So having someone oversee him or watch over him from time to time or whatever the case may be.
Could be good.
Correct.
So on April 16th, 2016, unbeknownst to anyone in Eric's life, Courtney secretly flies out to Las Vegas, picks Eric up, and drives him back to Los Angeles in his own car and moves him back into his Agora Hills home. And then she sort of low-key moves in with him, which surprised Anna and everyone else.
I went over there on April 25th because we had some follow-up doctor's appointments. And when I went over the house, she was gone, and so was her daughter. But I can see all their stuff. They're already, setting up house.
They're moving into Eric's house.
There was clothes. There was stuffed animals. There were, blow dryers and stuff like that. I'm like, huh. So she must be already spending the night and staying the night because the daughter had a room already set up with her, wow, her personal stuff. I'm like, okay, we didn't know about that.
As the weeks tick by, Courtney manages to convince Eric's friends and family that she means well and that she's really looking out for Eric.
Oh, that surprised me. I have to tell you.
She hosts dinners for them at Eric's house and plays the compassionate, doting girlfriend to a T. But looking back, there were certain tells Courtney exhibited that revealed what she was really up to.
And this was probably the first time I realized, my dad wasn't there anymore.
Eric's son, Dylan, who had just flipped his car at the time, he was okay, but his Honda was not. And he was beside himself with worry about how to tell his dad. In the past, stuff like that would really upset Eric, and he disciplined Dylan. So Dylan first tells Courtney that he flipped his car and asks her advice on how best to break the news to his dad.
Because she said, just tell him, he'll be fine. And so I ended up telling my dad I ended up flipping this car. It was no big deal. No big deal at all. And for whatever reason, I just didn't even notice that little comment. But looking back on it, that's just a weird thing to say.
Oh, so you asked Courtney, hey, I just flipped my car. I'm scared to tell my dad. What should I do? And she said, quote, just tell him, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
As if she knew anything you told him would just roll off his back.
Exactly.
Huh.
And I didn't pick up on that at the time. And looking back on it, as I'm telling the story right now, I'm just putting it together that's where that comment came
from.
She
kind of gave herself away.
Right.
Yeah, you can do anything. He won't know.
Right.
And then, weeks later, when Anna and Eric's sister and nephews come by the house to see him, Courtney's young daughter is there. And she shockingly lets slip a revelation that shakes Anna Durgan to her core.
We're over for a visit. And then her daughter goes, yeah, Eric's going to buy me and my mom a house with a pool in it.
Oh my God.
I'm like, this is in August of 2016.
Eric's gonna buy me and my mom a house with a pool in it?
Exactly what she said. And I'm like, okay, something's off here.
And the other thing that really alarms Anna is the fact that Courtney is no longer working at her office job.
She said she took a leave of absence to care for Eric. And I'm like, I'm an HR expert. You cannot take a leave of absence from work to care for a quote unquote friend or a boyfriend.
All of a sudden, it starts to feel like every time Anna comes over to check up on Eric, she makes another troubling discovery.
Now I'm seeing all these Amazon boxes addressed to Courtney Baird.
On like the doorstep?
Inside the house. Inside, boxes. So. Like we're like four or five boxes. I'm like, what the hell? All addressed to Courtney Baird. Now this is the person who stopped working, who's on a leave of absence. And I'm like, no. How does she have any money to pay for this?
At that point, Anna starts snooping.
Snoop Doggy Dog.
I like that as your code name.
Back when she's staying at Eric's house before Courtney's on the scene, Anna is the one logging into Eric's bank accounts, making sure all his bills get paid. But then she kind of loses access to his login info.
I had a laptop that had all his account information that no longer worked, like the screen wouldn't come on. So I took that laptop to go get fixed so I can see, because I needed to get that hard drive.
So you had a laptop with all the passwords and usernames already saved.
Already
saved. That
could
log into his account.
Accounts, correct.
So Anna rushes to get her laptop fixed and as quickly as she can logs back into Eric's bank accounts.
That's when I noticed all these ATM transactions. Like we're talking every day, sometimes $400 or $500 a day.
So she would take his ATM card.
Yes. Remember, he would be stuck in front of a TV.
Yeah. And so, she just goes to the ATM and withdraws money. She knew his PIN.
Everything she knew.
Wow.
Anna starts noticing a lot of other suspicious stuff, too.
She's not working. She's going to TJ Maxx. She's just throwing things in the basket without even looking at the price. Just loading up her cart.
Right.
Not even looking at the price tag. You know, I make six figures. I look at the fucking price tag.
Yeah. Oh, everyone does.
Not her. She saw it. She liked it. She just threw it in there. And then she started talking about getting plastic surgery because her eyelids were so closed and it made it look like she was really tired. So she wanted to get the eyelid. And we asked out of curiosity, how much would that cost? And she said about $4,000 or $5,000. So then I start looking. She put in a deposit for $500 for plastic surgery for her eye doctor in Thousand Oaks.
Damn.
It soon becomes obvious to Anna that Courtney is, in fact, stealing from Eric with reckless abandon.
So I start investigating, going over every single line item, every single charge in multiple accounts. And you can see Vons, 200, 300, 400, CVS, 264. What was she doing?
Yeah.
Gift cards.
She's buying gift cards. Boy, that is like classic scammer currency, though. When you hear about all these scams that happen where they trick the elderly to pay the IRS, it's always with a gift card. Go buy a gift card.
Gift cards.
Visa gift cards, to be exact. Scammers actually prefer gift cards because they're hard to trace and no personal information is required to use them. And most retailers cannot reverse transactions made with gift cards. And that makes it nearly impossible for victims to get any money back.
So the supermarket and the CVS, those were just ways for her to get gift cards.
Correct.
The other startling fact that Anna Durgan turns up in her investigation is that Courtney actually has a rap sheet.
She was on probation for forgery.
A crime she committed in May of 2015, 3 months before Eric attempts to take his life.
She apparently forged a doctor's prescription. She was busted for forging a doctor's prescription to get drugs or prescription drugs that she pled down. It was a felony that she pled down to a misdemeanor. She was arrested in November 2015. So while Eric's in recovery, right?
She's arrested.
She pleads guilty in January, I think it was either 20th or 22nd, 2016.
How you know these dates off the top of
your head? I'm like Aaron Brockovich. My mind just works this. It was either the 20th or the 22nd. So she's on probation, 36-month probation in January 2016 and starts stealing from Eric in April 2016.
Wow.
All the payments that she was making for that restitution was coming out of Eric's accounts.
Oh my God. And you would think, and I used to think this too, but I was so naive. You would think because she's on probation, oh, this is gonna really count against her. But nobody seems to give a crap.
The counties don't speak to each other.
Exactly. So what does probation even mean? It means nothing.
Nothing.
Because the same thing happened to me with my con artist.
Yeah, I was the victim of a duplicitous con artist too. I chronicle my nightmare in the Queen of the Con podcast. My con woman was convicted of scamming me out of close to $100,000 and sentenced to 5 years in jail. But 1 year and 11 months later, she's out, free as a bird, scamming up a storm.
And I'm gathering all this evidence of all these new cons, all these new victims, and I call her probation officer. He won't talk to me. I leave message. Finally, someone calls back and says, it's not a violation until they're convicted of something. And I'm like, you got it. You know how hard it is to get someone convicted of anything? Like,
but they're on probation saying that they will obey all laws and not commit any more crimes.
But they only consider it a crime if there's a conviction. It's like damned if you do, damned if you don't. Courtney, she's stealing from Eric while she's on probation for a whole other crime she did earlier. And she's using Eric's money that she stole to pay restitution in that case. And that apparently doesn't count against her.
Nope.
As the months pass, Courtney continues living with Eric under the guise of taking care of him. Meanwhile, she's stealing from Eric, knowing full well he's not all there mentally. It's sort of
diabolical, to be honest. That's what I refer to Courtney as, a diabolical individual to take advantage of Eric's state of being incapacitated, very childlike, like, you know, stealing from a child or stealing from an elderly person. It was disgusting.
Anna takes all the evidence she's gathered at this point, bank records and credit card statements, and meets with detectives from the Fraud and Cyber Crimes Bureau of the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department and convinces them to open an investigation.
The evidence suggested that his finances had been compromised.
Detective Dave Linkscheid is assigned the case. He's been investigating financial crimes for 24 years at this point, and he digs in and starts unraveling the sprawling tentacles of Courtney Baird's many criminal acts.
During the course of these kinds of investigations, I basically start reconstructing everything.
It is a laborious and time-consuming process, and it takes Detective Linkscheid months, but he manages to build an airtight slam dunk of a criminal case, and he's confident the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office will charge Courtney Baird with multiple felonies. But then Courtney Baird makes her checkmate move. She actually marries Eric in a secret ceremony behind the backs of his friends and family. And the criminal case against her sort of goes away.
Absolutely criminal. 100% criminal.
That's Chris Gurman again, a friend of Eric's, who at the time is also a detective with the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department.
What do you think she was thinking that this marriage would do for her?
It would give her immunity from any type of criminal prosecution because they're married. What's his is hers, what's hers is his.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression or suicidal thoughts, call or text 988 right now and speak with a counselor for free. If you're enjoying The Quarterback and the Con Artist, click that share button right now and text it to your friends and family. And if you can, leave us a 5-star review. The Quarterback and the Con Artist is produced, written, and hosted by me, Jonathan Walton, for Jonathan Walton Media. Executive producers Eric Kramer and Anna Durgan. Audio engineering by Justin Longerbeam. Editing and sound design by Hansdale Shi. Legal counsel provided by Ken Sterling from Sterling Media Law. We've got a lot of incredible stories in the works at Jonathan Walton Media, so make sure you subscribe and keep an ear out.